So tune in every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to noon right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
These country roads, take me home.
Howdy, friends and listeners of the Wayback Country Jamboree. Yes, this is your old host with the most country western music, Johnny Woodlaw. Inviting y'all to join me and my many legendary guests every Sunday from 8 to 11 over CFRC 101.9 FM. Remember, this is where real country music lives every Sunday from 8 to 11. Y'all stay tuned now, you hear.
That easy chair and sit right down for the best music in your town. On
the next Wayback Country Jamboree, coming up next on CFRC 101.9 FM.
I'm Father Time. What do? You ask? Oh, I do what all fathers do. I take care of things. But most of all, I make certain that every 1st of January, we have a bright and happy new year.
Hey, look, here comes the New Year's train. And look, in car number one, it's health. And in car number two, there's happiness, prosperity. And look, there's love, peace, and harmony. And the baby engineer is waving.
Morning, friends and listeners of the Wayback Country Jamboree Morning Show. This here is your old host with most country western music, Johnny Woodlock, and I'd like to welcome y'all in to a year in review that was the year of 2024. With that, I would also like to wish y'all a happy and very safe new year and say good morning to all my listeners here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Happy New Year to each and every one of you listening in on the Wayback Country Jamboree. This here is your old host with most country western music, Johnny Woodlock, for another New Year's celebration here at the Wayback Country Jamboree. Coming to you, as always, via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario. Also being heard and broadcast proudly over CFRC 119 FM, where we have been brought to you since 2016. As we begin the show today, I would also like to thank you for sharing your Sunday mornings with me during the past year of 2024. I'd also like to begin this year and review show with opening a tribute to the Hillbilly Shakespeare, Hank Williams, who will forever be associated with the New Year's celebrations on the program here, in country music as well, due to his passing 72 years ago on the morning of January 1st, 1953. And that, of course, is Hank Williams Sr. And so from his son, Bo Cephas, also Hank Williams Jr., it'll be a tribute song to his father called When He Sang. Then we'll open the show today with another classic by Hank Williams himself from 1949 in the world-famous Grand Ole Opry, and a classic called The Lovesick Blues. With that, I would like to say good morning to each and every one of you listening in, and just say Happy New Year to all my listeners.
January 1st, New Year's Day, 1953. For most people, the first day of a new year filled with hope and promise. For Hank Williams, it was the last day of his life as a man and the beginning of his life as a legend.
He was just a hillbilly singer, playing schools and honky-tonks, singing of the heartache and the
troubled times that he'd seen. He painted his life story in country music with an old guitar. And you could feel his sadness when he sang. His words kept telling of his pain. He took all the hurt he'd known and wrapped it in his song. And it came from the heart when he sang. I guess it's because he lived in his music and songs of broken dreams and homes. He knew the pain of losing and the meaning of goodbye. Unashamed, he closed his eyes and let sadness flow. When he sang, it made you want to cry. Yes, it came from the heart when he sang.
Welcome to the lovesick blues boy, Hank Williams.
Feeling called the blues. Oh, Lord, since my baby said goodbye. Lord, I don't know what I'll do. All I do is set and sigh. Oh, Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Well, Lord, I will cry. She'll do me, she'll do you. She's got that kind of loving. Lord, I look to you when she called me sweet. Daddy's such a beautiful dream. I hate to think it all over. I've lost my heart, it seems. I've grown so used to you somehow. Lord, I'm nobody's sugar daddy now. And I'm lonesome. I got the lovesick blues. A beautiful gal, that's what's the matter with me. Well, I'm in love with a beautiful gal, but she don't care about me. Lord, I tried and I tried to keep her satisfied, but she just wouldn't stay. So now that she is leaving, this is all I can say. I got a feeling called the blues. Since my baby said goodbye. Lord, I don't know what I'll do. All I do is set and sigh. Oh, Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Well, Lord, I thought I would cry. She'd do me, she'd do you. She's got that kind of loving. Lord, I looked to you when she called me sweet. Daddy said to think it all over. I've lost my heart, it seems. I've grown so used to you somehow. Lord, I'm nobody's sugar daddy now. And I'm lonesome. I got the lovesick blues.
Yeah.
Well, yes, friends, once again, we're back here on the Way Back Country Jamboree Morning Show as we welcome you all in and share a few special dedications. First of all, for Mama Dawn and Big Daddy L, it'll be a song that is a newer classic by our dear friend Daniel O'Donnell, which this past year I was very blessed and honored to meet up in Ottawa, the capital of Canada, with Mama Dawn back in September. Daniel released this classic called You Only Have One Mom and Dad, and this, of course, going out to my father figure, Big Daddy L, and also Mama Dawn. Then we'll follow with a song going out in loving memory of my late Papa Willie B, who sadly passed away 2 years ago, this coming January the 11th. And so in memory of Dad, it will be Hank Williams once again in a classic titled The Old Log Train. I'd also like to mention that this was the final song that was ever recorded by Hank Williams just weeks before his sad passing in 1953. And then we'll wrap up this set with another song going out in memory of a beloved granny who I had many years ago. And it's going to be for her today on what would have marked her 92nd birthday, 3rd of January. It'll be Norman Post of the Singing Post family and Prince Edward County and Grandma's Whistle. With that, I would like to welcome you all into the Way Back Country Jamboree and say good morning to all my listeners.
Them, and you'll not go far wrong. So listen to the words that I sing in this song. They rear you as a child, try to help along the way. They teach you right from wrong as you grow from day to day. And when you ask for their advice, sure they try to help along. They're not always right, but they're never too far wrong. You only have one mom and one dad, so treat them as well as you can. Learn to love and respect them, and you'll not go far wrong. So listen to the words that I sing in this song. Can for them when you have the chance, 'cause time will go by so quick, just like a glance. And in the blink of an eye, it will all end with a tear. For someday that time will come when they both will not be here. Yes, you only have one mom and one dad, so treat them as well as you can. Learn to love and respect them, and you'll not go far wrong. So listen to the words that I sing in this song. Oh yes, you only have one mom and one dad, so treat them as well as you can. Just learn to love and respect them, and you'll not go far wrong. So listen to the words that I sing in this song. Yeah, learn to love and respect them, and you'll not go far wrong. So listen to the words that I sing in this song.
A song I will sing about my daddy who ran a log train way down in the Southland in old Alabama. We lived in a place that they called Chapman County, and late in the evening when the sun was low, way off
off in the distance, you could hear the train blow. The folks would come running, and Mama would sing, "Get the supper on the table, here comes a log train." Every morning at the break of day, he'd grab his lunch bucket and be on his way. Winter or summer, sunshine or rain, every morning he'd run that old log train, a-sweating and swearing all day long, shouting, "Get up there, oxen, keep moving along. Load her up, boys, 'cause it looks like rain. I've got to get rolling this old log train. This story happened a long time ago. The log train is silent, God called, had to go. But when I get to heaven, to always remain, I'll listen for the whistle on the old log train."
Everybody has their music that they like to sing and play. Everybody has a song they like to sing along life's way. I have never heard my favorite music on the radio, or my song was silenced many years ago. I can see my grandma sitting on the front porch with a chirp. Her face was brown and wrinkled from the lessons she had learned. Sometimes when I'm tired and weary, I can hear that music yet. Grandma whistling, what a friend we have in Jesus. Younger folks were known for all the hell that we could raise. I must admit we had some good times in those good old days. Wake up in the early morning, and sometimes my head would hurt, but my grandma always whistled while she worked. And rock and roll and country music all around. That modern gospel singing makes a mighty pretty sound. But the sweetest sounds of all are in my memory, I guess. Grandma whistling, what a friend we have in Jesus. Now they say some girls can't whistle, but my grandma really could. In those old Kentucky hard times, it sounded awfully good. With the song to pass the time with, and the love she had for me, she will live forever in my they say that they have music in that home beyond the sky. There's one song I'll request if I should get there by and by. Now there may be many singing, but I know who'll be the best. Grandma Whistler, what a friend we have in
of the Louvin Brothers. You're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on the Wayback Country Jamboree. I can't wait to see you there.
Come go with me to the bottom of the bottle.
Yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to take our weekly trip up into the mighty Ottawa Valley, the valley we call the Ottawa, with our dear friends and radio family, Uncle Ray and Aunt Margaret Chapisky, on the banks of the Bonnechere River in Eganville, Ontario. For them today, it's going to be legendary Mac Beattie, Mr. Ottawa Valley, as he was always known, and a song that's much associated with the New Year's holiday titled Tiny Bubbles. Then we'll follow with another dear friend of mine out of Brockville, Ontario, Tom Wilson, and all his Western All-Stars, and a classic called My Leeds County Home. Then we'll wrap up this set with a man I got to meet this past fall, Eddie Francis of Ottawa, and also he got inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame of the Ottawa Valley this past year. So with that, we'll hear The Valley of the Ottawa by Eddie Francis. With that, I would like to wish everybody out there in the Ottawa Valley a good Sunday morning and a happy New Year. Welcome in, friends.
In the wine, make me happy, make me feel fine. Tiny bubbles make me warm all over, with the feeling that I'm gonna love you till the end of time. To the golden moon, and here's to the silver sea, and mostly here's a toast to you and me. Tiny bubbles in the wine make me happy, make me feel fine. Bubbles make me warm all over, with the feeling that I'm gonna love you till the end of the silver sea, and mostly here's a toast to you and me. Tiny bubbles in the wine make me happy, make me feel fine. Tiny bubbles
feeling that I'm gonna love you till the end of time.
Roll on, silver moon, Lord, I'm gonna be there soon, heading for my old East County home. We'll be waiting there to greet me when I reach my old East County home. I love her, she loves me, that's the way it's gonna be. From that spot I'll never, never roam. Roll on, silver moon, Lord, I'm gonna be there soon, heading for my old East County home. Way it's gonna be, from that spot I'll never, never roam. Roll on, silver moon, Lord, I'm gonna be there soon, heading for my old East County home.
The valley of the Ottawa is calling out to me. The trees and the rivers seem to say, son, why don't you come on home to where you ought to be, and we will sing and dance the night away. In the spring the sawmills sing and the waterways will thaw. Nature tolls all waking souls up in the Ottawa. The curtains rise before your eyes, the maple syrup flows. Budding trees, birds and bees and pretty flowers grow. In the prime of summertime, in the land of Muffarraw, as legends go, here Fiddlin' Joe up in the Ottawa. Lift your schemes and treasure dreams upon the family farm. Making hay old-fashioned ways will surely do no harm. The valley of the Ottawa is calling out to me. The trees and the rivers seem to say, son, why don't you come on home to where you ought to be, and we will sing and dance the night away. The hills will glow in autumn show unlike you ever saw. So wait, you bet you won't forget the majestic Ottawa. The sweet recall of harvest ball or meeting at the fair. It all depends as season ends upon the master's care. When winter comes, the land becomes a wonder without flaw. It's ho, ho, ho on falling snow up in the Ottawa. Though it may storm, the hearth is warm where you can take a rest. In the valley of the Ottawa that we still love the best. The valley of the Ottawa is calling up to me. And the rivers seem to say, son, why don't you come on home to where you ought to be, and we will sing and dance the night away. Son, why don't you come on home to where you ought to be, and we will sing and dance the valley way.
Thank you. my Renfrew County home where I was born.
G'day folks, I'm Vic Garbutt of Valley Heritage Radio, and you're listening to your good friend and mine, Johnny Whitlock, on the Wayback Country Jamboree. Stay tuned.
In my Renfrew County home where I was born.
Well, yes, friends, once again, I'd like to welcome a very special guest of honor onto the Wayback Country Jamboree and Morning Show. During the year of 2024, we have been very blessed and honored to welcome a lot of great guests onto the program, the Wayback Country Jamboree, over the year of 2024. Now, among these great legends who have graced our show this year, I have picked three of the top guests that I have personally selected as fan favorites and guests that have truly brought joy and honor to our program this year. So with that mentioned, I would like to pay tribute to an interview I got to do in June with a dear friend of mine who I have long admired as the much hated Nellie Olson on Little House on the Prairie, one of the most beloved television series of all time. Of course, it's going to be Alison Arngrim, who played this character back in the day. And then following this interview, we will hear an all-time classic as done by Grandpa Jones and was one of the songs used often in the Little House on the Prairie program, Old Dan Tucker. Here now is Alison Arngrim, also known and forever hated, but forever loved as Nellie Olson.
Thank you for having me.
So let's go into the Little House on the Prairie. How did you end up with that role?
Well, I was auditioning. I've been working, gosh, since I was five. I got my first job. And I'd auditioned for many, many things. And I one day went out and, I auditioned for the part of Laura. And I auditioned for the part of Mary, which I'm glad I did not get those. That would not have worked at all. And then they went and they made the pilot, Little House on the Prairie, and I forgot all about it. I said, well, that's done. I did Melissa Gilbert, Melissa Sue Anderson got it. They did great.
Yes.
And then months later, I get this call to audition for Little House on the Prairie. Well, I didn't realize, it's 12, they'd sold the series, and now they were casting the rest of the town. And I didn't know. I was like, what on earth are they doing? How many people are in? And I get there, and I had not read the books. I did not know there was an Ellie Olson. I didn't know they didn't tell me anything about it. I had no idea. I get there, and I get the script, and I just about have a fit, because I start reading it, and she's awful. I turned to my father, 12 years old. I said, this is not a normal part. He said, what do you mean? I said, she's a girl of the...
Yes.
He starts, I said, what on earth are you talking about? And then I started reading it for him, and he was beside himself, and he said, don't change anything. You go and you read it just like that. Don't even look at it. Don't rehearse it. Don't do a darn thing. And that's what I did. I went in, and there were the producers. There's Michael Landon, this is the guys. And they laughed so hard. They were just beside themselves. And they said, could you do it again, please? And I said, certainly, what would you like me to change? And they said, nothing, just read the part about the house again. And they thought it was the funniest thing they'd ever heard anybody do, especially this. I looked even younger than my age. I looked absolutely tiny at 12. So they thought, here's this tiny blonde girl coming in and doing this hilarious performance. So they said, well, that's that. And that was it. I mean, by the time we got home, my agent had made the deal, and it was, you know, wardrobe fittings next week. That was it. I got it. I was hired on the spot. It was quite something.
Yes. And I understand that you were, I hate to say it, but you were hated for what the character you did play.
I did. You know, of course, I always liked villains. And
Yeah, so do I.
Villains. So I thought it was great. I knew I was playing the villain, and I thought, oh, this is great. And I just jumped right on, and I didn't mind. So I knew, of course, people were going to say they hated me. People now say, I hated you so much. And I say, oh, thank you, thank you. I was doing
yes,
my job.
Exactly.
But people did. I joke that, you know, people go into show business so that people will love them, and this didn't quite work for me. Everyone hates me. There's still people who are afraid of me. I still have people come up to autograph shows, and they're scared to come up to the table.
Yes. Well, you played her so well, and there was a part of us that hated her, but yet wanted her to win, in one sense.
Yes, there was something, I guess the glee was a different approach. And Nellie was a very funny character too, the comedy relief, that people kind of wanted to see, well, what's she going to do next? And
exactly.
And people enjoyed it. It was the girl you love to hate. People took great pleasure in hating me.
That's right. Now, did you ever have hate mail or fans reaction terribly to?
Yeah. I mean, people would write to me, and they, if they got it together to write, they seemed to understand, say, well, you're an actress. Although I did have, you know, I had a couple strange letters talking about I should be spanked. I put those in the special file for the police.
Yes.
I did have some people get crazy. I was in the Christmas parade. I was about 16 years old, the Hollywood Christmas parade, and someone threw a McDonald's cup of orange soda at my head.
Oh, wow.
And they literally threw a drink at me at the sight of me because I was just so awful. And I had a woman come up to me at an autograph show, and she walked in. She didn't say good morning. She didn't say hello. She just walked up to the table and said, I forgive you, and walked out.
I see, yes.
She'd been holding this in for years. I have had people say very strange things to me and get very excited and agitated and sometimes angry at the very sight of me, which is a strange phenomenon to witness.
Yes, but I must say that you over the phone right now, I was nervous, to be honest with you, about talking to you, but you are very calm. Yes.
See, even you were a little scared, like, what? Well, I don't know what she like. We had a marvelous event some years ago out in, I think it was the one we're in Walnut Grove, the real Walnut Grove in Minnesota, and a woman came who was a teacher, like kindergarten and first grade, and she had told her class, I'm going to go to an event and meet the people from the TV show Little House on the Prairie, and they were like, yay, it's great, I'll bring back pictures. And she said, went down the list and said, and I'll be meeting the woman who's Nellie Olson. And all the children said, no, don't go, it's a trap. It's not safe. They were afraid for their teacher. She said, no, you can't meet her. That's not safe. You mustn't go. And she tried to explain this to the actress. So when she met me, we got lots of pictures, a little video that I was clearly a nice person. And it was so cute because when she got back, she had the whole class and they wrote little notes, you know, very basic printing on the big line paper. Thank you for being nice to our teacher, that they now all understood I wasn't really mean, it was only on TV, and so glad that I didn't hurt their teacher. But the whole class was terrified, you mustn't go, it's a trap, it's
dangerous.
People are scared to death of me, so it's very, and it's, as you can see, I'm like the least scary person you're going to meet.
That's right,
kind of
for sure. It's like a it's like an alter ego, but it's so much so that we are afraid of you, but when we meet you, it's totally opposite. Yeah.
And that's what just makes it so much fun at these personal appearances. And we're still going all over the country because this year, 2024, is the 50th anniversary
of the
debut of Little House on the Prairie. And it's just been wild.
Would you tell us about working with Richard Bull and also Catherine McGregory?
Yes. Catherine and Richard were amazing. I mean, they were like their characters, but it was Richard, really. It was Nels. We always said it was most like his character. He was always the voice of reason and sanity on the set. Really, really nice man. Very sensible. Stayed that way all his life. I remember visiting him when he was quite old, he and his wife in Chicago, and he said he was so pleased to see I'd grown up to be a good businesswoman because he'd been worried I'd become a flibbertigibbet. That's something Nels Olson would say. And, of course, Catherine, unbelievable as Mrs. Olson. In real life, a very nice person, not at all mean like Mrs. Olson, but terribly eccentric and kind of wild and over the top, like Mrs. Olson. Very opinionated, love to argue like Mrs. Olson.
We
said she was the kind of person who took in stray people and animals. She just loved everyone.
I've listened to your podcast quite often, and you were saying that she even tried to change some of the script.
Oh, often. She would argue with Michael a lot. She says, well, I don't want to say this, I don't want to say that. They let her occasionally. Her most famous one that actually stuck, that they said, fine, we'll go with that, is they had written a scene where Mrs. Olson can't say Almanzo's name properly, so she keeps calling, they had it that she would call him Dalzamo, so of course Catherine said Zaldamo because she's Catherine, and they kept saying no, it's Dalzamo, and she said yes, okay, Dalzamo, got it, and the scene would happen, she'd say Zaldamo. And after three or four times, they say everybody just gave up and said, you know, Zaldamo's funnier, I guess that's what she's gonna say. She would do crazy things in scenes. She always wanted a prop, and you'd be doing a scene, you'd say, okay, I know what she's going to say, and I sort of think I know what she's going to do, because I've worked with her before, But suddenly she decides to eat an apple during the scene. And suddenly you're saying your line, and this woman is crunching and eating an apple right in your face while you're talking. And after,
yes.
And she would put in physical business and just say, well, I didn't know we were going to do that. All right. We cracked up a lot. It got like the Carol Burnett show. I was trying to do a scene with Catherine and not just be in uncontrollable laughter. It was very difficult.
Exactly. I'd imagine your memories of wearing the wig, but also more than that is the bonnets. Those must have drove you crazy.
Well, it was so hot where we filmed, because, you know, here it is supposed to be Minnesota, but we're in California.
Yes.
And we showed these scenes out at a big movie ranch where it's 110 degrees in the summer. It's brutal. And there we are all in our petticoats and our long dresses and our long sleeves. And then to top it off, well, they tried curling my hair for the first few months.
Yeah.
And it would not stay curled. And I was having to sleep in curlers and go to work at 4 in the morning. I'm 12 years old, for heaven's sakes. So finally, yes, they said, we'll get a wig made. And they got the wig made. Well, it's gorgeous, and it stays curled no matter what. Most uncomfortable thing you can imagine. There's a giant metal comb in the front that digs into the scalp. And I don't know many hairpins are jammed in. So it hurts like hell. And I'm wearing this, it's 110 degrees. And then, yes, then they throw a bonnet on top of it, like I needed more heat, you know, being
exactly.
kept in. And it was, the bonnets are handy. You know, they do keep the sun off your face. I'll say that for them. I think one of the reasons that so many of the people from Little House look really good today, we all have lovely skin, I think it was the bonnets. I think they kept the sun damage off
Of
them.
For sure,
But, oh, my God. Little House is an amazing show to be on, and, of course, the scripts are good, and, oh, my God, the people were wonderful, but I have to say it was what you would call a physically challenging show to be on.
Yes,
we did some of our own stunts. That it was always either blazing hot or freezing cold, or we were up north in a river or in a pond, or something was going on, where going down a hill in a wheelchair, rolling around in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
It was like being a stunt person working on that show.
So
and
you must
have
done your own stunts.
Yeah, we had a stunt woman did most of the down the hill in the wheelchair. I get in the chair, and then she does the big backflip, and then they took me to a different hill that was longer but less steep and rolled me down that. But the stuff we got into on that show, and then, as I said, the heat and the cold and the terrible conditions, the clothes, it's not like those nice shows where they shoot indoors on a soundstage all day.
For sure.
Never
for
get
sure,
hot.
Yeah.
No air conditioning for us. So it was a lot of work. We were always exhausted and dirty by the end of the day.
I see, yes. Well, hence the prairie, but yes, exactly. So, looking back on 50 years, what would you like the fans to know?
Well, I think to know that we really did, you know, you can tell we enjoyed making it. It looks like we had a good, we did.
Mm-hmm.
We really did enjoy making that show. We had our ups and downs, and, you know, you can read everybody's biography, and they'll talk about who had a tiff with who and who didn't like who for a week. But everybody wound up being friends in the end. We all liked each other. We all bought each other things for Christmas. We all got together at the wrap party. And you just couldn't stay mad at anybody very long on that show. And most of us became absolute lifelong friends. Many of us are very good friends to this day. I mean, yes, it's great we're getting together for all these fan events for the 50th, but some of us who live in the same town, we see each other all the time.
Okay, sure. And including you and Melissa, we're quite close, I understand.
Still are, yes. She is.
Yes.
She's kind of like a baby sister. And it's funny, because we'll talk, and one time we were saying something, I don't know, what is that, some expression, and I said, oh, do you say that too? And she says, yes, we have a lot of the same expressions and things we call, because we grew up together, dummy.
That's
and
true,
I went, oh,
exactly.
Right. And we did. We were little girls, and we grew up together as much as any sisters would. It's so strange to have known someone for 50 years and still see them regularly and text with them and Facebook, and thank heavens for the internet and all the Instagram and the Twitter.
That's
and the,
for sure.
The texting.
For sure.
We're constantly the tech. Oh, you should see the group texts that go around. We're on the road together. It's hilarious. And I was just talking to Almanzo, Dean Butler, yesterday, because we have a podcast.
Yes, of course.
And I'll soon be seeing Charlotte Stewart, our Miss Beetle. I'm seeing both Baby Grace and Baby Rose this weekend.
Yes.
So it's quite funny that all of us are still getting together. One wouldn't think, but here we all are.
Looking back at a hated character, did it ever I guess lasting impact is, did it ever change who you were?
No, I don't think so, other than it gave me a marvelous place to really release all of those kinds of negative emotions and anger. If anything, it made me calmer and did wonders for my blood pressure.
And with that, I want to thank you for a wonderful conversation and a happy 50th.
Thank you.
Old Dan Tucker, what a fine old man he washed his face in a frying pan, combed his head with a wagon wheel, died with a toothache in his heel. Get out of the way, old Dan Tucker, out of the way, old Dan Tucker, out of the way, old Dan Tucker, you're too late to get your supper. Old Dan Tucker is a lovely man, he swallowed a barrel of whiskey down, hooks flew off and the barrel did buzz, away went Dan in a cloud of dust. Get out of the way, old Dan Tucker, out of the way, old Dan Tucker, out of the way, old Dan Tucker, you're too late to get your supper. Old Dan Tucker is a fine old man, he used to ride old Darby's ram, he rode him east and he rode him west, he rode him into a hornet's nest. Get out of the way, old Dan Tucker, out of the way, old Dan Tucker, out of the way, old Dan Tucker, you're too late to get your supper. Old Dan Tucker went to town, riding a goat and leading a hound. The hound give a yell and the goat give a jump. Old Dan Tucker, straddle of a stump. Get out of the way, old Dan Tucker, out of the way, old Dan Tucker, out of the way, old Dan Tucker, you're too late to get your supper. He got drunk and he fell in the fire and he kicked up a chunk of fire. Cold got in the heel of his shoe. Bless you, honey, how the ashes flew. Get out of the way, old Dan Tucker. Out of the way, old Dan Tucker. Out of the way, old Dan Tucker. You're too late to get your supper. Get out of the way, old Dan Tucker. Out of the way, old Dan Tucker. Out of the way, old Dan Tucker. You're too late to get your supper.
Yes, friends, following that classic interview from June of this past year, we are back, and it's once again time to invite y'all to turn up your radios as we once again revisit the vinyl blast from the vinyl past. But first, we must open the vinyl vault door here this morning at the Woodlock Ranch. Now that the vinyl vault door is wide open, it is once again that time in the program to pay tribute and step back to the 1950s and remember an all-time classic by Hank Williams, The Drifting Cowboy, who sadly passed away and tragically passed away 72 years ago on the morning of January 1st, 1953 in the back seat of his baby blue Cadillac on his way to Canton, Ohio for a New Year's concert. The man, of course, became a true legend that day, and I would like to pay tribute to him once again with an all-time classic taken off an original 78 and titled The First Fall of Snow. With that, here now is Hiram Hank Williams, forever remembered as the Hillbilly Shakespeare.
I talked with a stranger, so sad and forlorn. His garments were sackcloth, all tattered and torn. Told me a story of sorrow and woe. His heart went to heaven at the first fall of snow. He spoke of his angel, a dear baby girl. He loved every footstep, he loved every curve, but she went to heaven just 1 year ago. The angels came for her at the first fall of snow. Still had the dolly that she used to love. He held and caressed her and gazed
voice up above. He whispered, my baby, you're waiting, I know. I'll bring you your darling at the first fall of snow. And there as I listen, my eyes fill with tears. I knew she was part of his happier years. His frail body trembled, he spoke soft and low. I'll be with my baby at the first fall of snow. I patted his shoulder, my feelings to hide. He couldn't know I was crying inside. As we parted, 'cause he didn't know that we lost our baby at the first fall of snow.
Well, yes, friends, once again we have reached the end of the first hour of the Way Back Country Jamboree morning show here this morning. On this, our eighth tribute to the year that was, and of course that year, 2024. With that mentioned, I'd like to play us out of the first hour and into the second hour, 9 o'clock here this morning, with a collection of great sacred songs. First will be my favorite husband and wife team in country music, Carol and Pearl Butler, and a song which I believe is more true now than ever, especially with each passing of the new year. And that, of course, is a song titled Living in the Last Days. Then we'll follow with another all-time legend of country music, the queen of country music, Miss Kitty Wells, and a classic called Matthew 24. Then we'll send us into the very top of the 9 o'clock hour in the second hour of this morning's program with Country Johnny Mathis. Often forgotten by today's standards, but he is a true legend of country music to historians like myself, and he has a great gospel favorite titled The Tears Came Down. Now, I'd also like to mention that I received a book about Country Johnny Mathis for Christmas, which was written by his son, John Mathis Jr., and I really hope that we can get him on the show in the coming year. With that, here's my salute to the great gospel songs of yesteryear. Welcome in, friends, and we'll talk to you on the other side at 9 o'clock.
We have heard the wondrous story of the Christ of Calvary, how he died to save poor sinners deeply bound. He ascended back to heaven, but he said, I'll come again. We're living in the last days now. Prophecy, just as they do today, we're living in the last days now. Place there can be found.
just can't get around it. For it's true, it comes from God. We're living in the last days now.
Time is coming for the Lord to come again. I believe the end is nearing every door. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. We are living, surely living in the days he speaks about. All of these we now are having every day. Let's be ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. On the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him, saying, tell us when these things are going to be. Jesus answered, be ye watching, let everyone be free from sin, and take heed no man shall ever you deceive. I believe the time is coming for the Lord to come again. I believe the end is nearing every door. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24.
Walked into Gethsemane one day. With a heavy heart he went in there to pray. As he walked along he fell upon the ground. When the Savior cried to God the tears came down. Yes, the tears came down, the Savior's time was nigh. It was time to walk upon that hill and die. He was praying that the Father's will be done. When the tears came down from Jesus, God's own Son, then into the garden came a trusted friend, bringing soldiers that would mean the Savior's end. Then they took him to the high priest in great haste. There they mocked and slapped and spit upon his face. Witnesses came forth and they both lied, and they sentenced Jesus to be crucified. He was led with meekness then to pay the call, as a stranger followed closely with his cross. Yes, the tears came down, the Savior's time was nigh. It was time to walk upon that hill and die.
father's will be